few weeks to try to chart some direction for the church. It would be nice if being ready for the Lord was just as simple as going down here to the L&N Depot and waiting for the train to arrive. We know two things for certain, that Jesus bought the church with his own blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, he's going to return and come and receive it to his own. And there's a lot of time. We don't know how much time's between when he died for it and when he comes back for it. But we as members of the church and as elders here, and as you as members of the church, we have a responsibility to carry out many things that aren't specifically addressed in the Word of God. And it takes planning. Planning and organization sometimes seems to be a bad word among our brethren and among churches of Christ. But no plan, or rather no endeavor, as we'll see here in a moment, ever accomplishes little without a plan. It has to have some vision. And Helen Keller said the most pathetic person is the one who has sight but has no vision. And so that's talking about planning. That's talking about thinking ahead. Where do you want to be a year from now in various aspects of your life? 5 years from now? 10 years from now? We know we're planning ahead, and the Lord may interrupt that all before we get done tonight, and all this effort will be in vain. But he might not. And then we're accountable and we're responsible for what happens. The idea or the concept that underlines all this, the Word of God, but it's heaven. And it's going there and it's helping others according to the Word of God underscore every facet of the work we've planned to undertake. That's the great goal. That's the objective. The vision and planning are elements that are required to do that. They are essential elements to all successful endeavors. And really what we learn is that this goal of heaven, we're challenged in Colossians chapter 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Well, when we're mindful of spiritual things and we're mindful of eternal things, we're going to see real soon that there's all kinds of responsibilities that we have that go along with that. It's not just a matter of waiting till the Lord comes. It's a matter of preparation and being ready when he comes and all that's involved in that. And we understand as elders that the church as whole has a responsibility in that, and the elders specifically have responsibility. Success isn't an accident. Success isn't an accident. It's the result of high goals, intelligent direction, sincere effort, and skillful execution. It's not just good enough to have a plan, but the plan has to be implemented. And there has to be measure. They have to have something to measure that by. Our destiny is a matter of choice. Going to heaven, that's a choice. And if you've made that and you're willing to do whatever the Lord says, between now and then, you will go to heaven. Destiny is a choice. It's never an accident. People who are going to go to heaven are people who've planned to go to heaven. They won't be surprised when they find themselves there. They've expected to be there. In this matter of our responsibility as elders, we want you to know that we believe if we're not intent on this work, we failed the divine commission given to us. When it talks about shepherding the flock, watching for souls, taking the oversight thereof, it's not just to stand back and watch it happen job that we have to do. We don't believe that at all. We believe the Lord's church is the greatest institution on the earth because it was bought by his blood. And we believe that the charge the church has, the preachers have, elders have, is worthy of planning and deliberate choices to make the very best use of everything that the Lord's given us to accomplish what he wants. It's not about accomplishing my ends. We're just responsible for utilizing all the resources. And we are a group of people here, specifically at West End, that are blessed abundantly with resources, human and otherwise. And this is not just an ambitious series of work details for the elders. We're involved in it already in planning, and we'll be involved in the execution of it. But the fact of the matter is, we need help. And it takes the support of every individual and that's a member of the church here, takes their support in whatever way they can do that, support and help, and takes many forms, depending on who you are. And so I want to look at just a couple passages of Scripture and the outline for the specific things we want to talk about. We want to thank you in advance for your patience. We don't know when this is going to end. It will tonight. But we appreciate your patience. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, "But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in all things into Him who's the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." That's a picture of people there doing as a human body, each one representing a different part, but each doing its share for the strengthening and the building up of that body, that's this local church, and for the work, the effectual working by which every part does its share. Now, we could talk about what's my job, and we're going to see what some of those are tonight in some detail. But we need to all think about, what can I do? What's my responsibility? And do as much as I can. Provide as much support as I can in whatever way I can to achieve not the elders' goals, not the elders' objectives, but the Lord's objective for His people. That's primary. The big picture is heaven, but there are steps that must be taken between here and there that we're responsible for. In this matter of using all our resources, I want to emphasize a point here. That we have a lot of resources here. We talk about the talent pool all the time from various aspects. We have two things going for us here, talent and ability. But that's going to take willingness. You can be talented in many areas or have many different skill sets, whether it's spiritual or otherwise. You can have skill sets. But if you don't have willingness, then they're worthless. You could be the greatest heart surgeon in the world, but no one would benefit from your skills if you didn't do surgery on the body of someone. By the same token, we have issues in our culture like they did in the first century, time and money. Maybe in the first century it was the drachma. In the United States of America, it's the dollar. That's just the medium of exchange. But when you take talent and ability and willingness, and you couple with that time and money, you know what you get when you have that? That equation means you have success. Now, you remember what we're talking about here is the Lord's. Sounds like a business plan. But it applies across the board, whether it's business, whether it's the family, whether it's the church, that you have to use your resources that we have. We have to be willing to use the resources we have, and that takes time, coupled with money, whatever that takes to facilitate that, it's an investment. It's an investment in eternity. It's an investment for us in one another, for souls, our fellow brothers' souls. It's an investment. When we talk about evangelism, it's an investment in the world. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. And you take any one of these four elements out of the equation, and you are limiting, if not eliminating, your success. You have to have these. We've outlined our plans according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. You remember the context there is the gifts that God gave. In Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about the gifts when Jesus descended and then ascended, and it says he gave some. These are the gifts that God gave. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And here's the three reasons or three purposes they are to serve, three objectives they are to have in their mind. It's for the equipping of the saints, it's for the work of service, and it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. And those are the three categories that you're going to be addressed about with tonight with regarding the plans of the church. Brad is going to come up here now, and he's going to talk about equipping the saints and those things that we've aligned under that heading. Works of service, Johnny is going to come up here, and he's going to talk about those. David then with building up the body, and Curtis is going to do a summary of that, these things today, whatever he chooses, and an invitation, the invitation of the Lord. I want to emphasize again and underscore that the Lord's people are the greatest people on earth. This is a great place and great potential. And the Lord, we have been given much, and the Lord is going to require much. And so we need to view the things tonight that are going to be spoken about these specific areas, and we're just hitting the tops of them tonight. But you view those with eternity in mind, it may make a difference. Brad?
Thank you, Mark. Well, the question's this. Can we do it? And I'm going to tell you the answer. We can. We can do it. We know that we can. When Mark put up there about success, you know what success is? Success is going to be when we stand at that judgment bar of God and He tells us, enter into the joys of your Lord. It's our goal as a group of elders to lead us to heaven. That's our ultimate goal. And we know as a group we can do that. We know that we can. In view of equipping the saints, and don't any of you fall out here. What do you know about that? I can use a PowerPoint. Well, isn't that slick? David and Mark worked real hard on this for me, and I appreciate that. And I'm going to learn how to use that someday. That's one of my goals, too. But anyway, one of the first things on equipping the saints is something that we took care of this afternoon. Many of you men who are here in attendance right now were here back. We met at 3:30. And we went over a set of worship leader guidelines. And what that is these men who stand before you and lead us in songs, and lead us in prayer, and lead us in reading from God's Word, and lead us by preaching to us and teaching lessons to us. We went over some things that the elders think are important. Not new to West End, but just re-emphasizing those things. And we had a great, I think there was 77 on the list when I counted, if everybody signed that. And if you didn't, if you weren't able to be there, we'll hunt you down, and we'll make sure that you get that one-on-one. So that's one thing. Man, I really like this. The next thing just pops up there. The next thing I want to talk to you about is we're going to have worship leader training classes. And I asked a question in our deacons meeting, the last deacons meeting that we had. If any of y'all, when you were younger, and many of you are not that way anymore, but you remember back when you were young? You didn't know how to get up in front of the congregation and maybe lead a song or lead a prayer or read from the scripture even. But we talked to the deacons about that, and one of the things in the future that we're going to provide is we're going to have some opportunity for, and you know what? I said that to young men. It can be some older men too. It may be an older gentleman who says, you know what? I've never led a public prayer. Well, we're going to provide some training for that, because if you want to do that, we want to make it where you can and where you feel comfortable doing that and leading this group in worship. Next of all is the singing. And I'm going to give my opinion about this. It isn't worth anything, so just take that for what it matters. But the singing with Tim Stevens was a success, in my opinion, and I think many people would say the same thing. I was thoroughly edified. I can't even sing. I like to sing, but I can't sing. But I was thoroughly edified when you sang. And I sang with you, even though I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But we've talking with Tim, and he's coming back on May the 3rd of 2013. So put that on your calendar right now and make plans to be here. And we'll be talking about that in the future. And we'll be sending out announcements about that. And that's just something that's real good. The next thing is our newsletter. I mentioned earlier when I made the announcement that at each of our entrances, or exits, however you will, that there is a sheet there that gives some pertinent information about West End. Well, that has been under major, major construction. And so next week, when you come in, be sure to pick up one of those, because that's something that we're going to be able to use as a group, as a teaching tool. But it's something you're going to want to pick up, and you're going to want to look at. Do you wonder what one looks like? There it is. I got to look at that in the big form, because it doesn't show up very big right here. Look at that. And on that, there's information about the group here. There's an article on there. And Curtis wrote the first article. And there will be a different article in there each week. And that's an article that you can take, you know what, and you can read it. And then you know what you can do with that? You can fold it up. You can give it to your next door neighbor. You can give it to the fellow that you work with. You can give it to the guy that cuts your hair. You can say, you know what? I go to West End Church of Christ. You know what? I'd like to invite you to come. There's an article that our preacher wrote. And there are just some things about us. And on the back, there'll be some information about the folks who are sick here and about group meetings that are going on and stuff like that. That'll be out there next Sunday. We can use that as a tool. Please take time next Sunday to read that. Now, don't read it during the sermon. Okay? Let's make a deal on that. But read it and pass it on. Don't read it and tuck it in the pew rack, the songbook rack. And, you know, don't stick it on the visor on the car. But pass it on. Let's do that. The next thing is the website. If you are a frequenter of the website, there has been added, and that the guys that take care of that just do such a great job. I don't know how they know how to do all that stuff. It's kind of like this little clicker button that makes this go off here. But the elder contact information is on there. We even have the availability. If you wanted to click and send the elders an email, you can do that. That's on there. Access that website and look at that stuff. The next thing is our end of quarter classes. You know that this morning was the last class of our Bible classes this quarter. And on the week between this Sunday, when this quarter ends, and the next Sunday, when the next quarter begins, we have a transition period of time there. And it allows all those teachers that are back there that have done so much work in those rooms to get that stuff collected and pile it up back there for Phyllis to go through and to get it sorted and put back up and put in its places. And then it allows those new teachers time to get their stuff back into those classrooms, the new teachers that will teach next quarter, and get all that done. Well, the format for that in-between class, which on Wednesday we will all meet here in the auditorium, the format for that is going to be different this Wednesday night. And we sure hope you're here. And here's what that format's going to be. You can see it on the screen there. Each one of the elders and Curtis is going to talk about a specific subject. We're going to have a song related to that subject. We're going to speak for some time on that subject. And then we're going to have a prayer about that subject. I want to encourage you to be here. We talked about this afternoon that our services, we wanted them to be edifying. We first of all want them to be scriptural in the mind of God, but then we want them to be edifying to each other. And we feel confident that this will be the case. And we want you to be here on Wednesday night. You know, it'd be the perfect time to bring the fellow that works with you. Perfect time for that. Well, there's not a time that's not perfect for that, but it'd be a perfect time for that. The next thing we want to talk about when we talk about equipping the saints is our adult classes. Our adult classes going forward, and this has happened in the past, there may be some classes, specific classes, that the elders may come to you specifically and say, you know what? We really would like you to attend this class. And I'll just tell you, when we ask you to do that, we want you to attend that class. I won't say it's mandatory, but we want you to attend the class. Because the ultimate goal, if we're going to be successful, is we got to get to heaven. And we got to do whatever it takes to get there. So, our adult Bible classes for the third and fourth quarters for 2012, here they are. And if you notice, we've got an extra class that we don't normally have. Because we've got enough teachers that we can teach those classes. So you be looking at those, and we'll put those up on the screen again next Sunday. And you have choices in the third quarter. Brother Pope's going to teach Genesis beginning, and that's going to be a two-quarter study. So you're going to get your cup full. So bring a bucket. Okay. Sean and Nate Schaus are going to teach Christianity 301, and that's a class that's been going on all year, back in the back in A7. Gary Hammer and Johnny are going to teach 2 Timothy and Titus back in Hall B, back here in room B5. And then David and Mark Pape are going to teach the parables back in B7. So look at all the choices that we have. We're providing an opportunity for you to study your Bible. So what we've got to do is we got to bring our Bible. And we got to be prepared. And if you've picked out that you're going to study Genesis, then you know what? Don't wait till next Sunday. Start right now. You got 6 days. Why don't you start reading? See, it's going to take everything that we can do to get to heaven. But that's not everything. Then later in the fourth quarter, we can talk about that. But specifically, you can see the classes there that we have. Personal evangelism. Curtis is going to finish Genesis in here. Christianity 401 with David and Sean. David's back in there. And then myself and Jason Dickey are going to teach life skills back in the back. But that's not all. Let's look at 2013. There's a list of classes that we have already for 2013. And all those men have already been talked to. And they're in agreement that they're ready. They're ready to teach God's word. They're ready to do their part. And you know what? We're ready to learn. And you know, that's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to be about doing. I want to tell you something. I am just excited about the future here at West End. I don't know that I can even put that into words. But we're going to be busy. And sometimes we may be tired. But that's okay. Because we're going to be successful. And we're going to get to heaven. And I'm going to turn it over to Johnny for his part of the presentation.
Good evening. Look forward to this evening since we the elders met and prepared for this opportunity to be able to speak to you this evening. I get to speak to you on the importance of our attendance. 18 years soon be as an elder. Attendance has been something we have worked out, tried to improve, tried to keep up better with. As we have gone through that period of time, hopefully as we get into our importance of our attendance, we get more of a handle on it now as we have four elders and with a new process that's in our process of doing. Because we realize that if you're not here, then it's not only missing out on you, but also you need to be here to encourage others. Our attendance is important, and we have assigned you to a group, everyone except those that are shut-ins. You're in a group. In that group, there will be two or more deacons within that group. If for some reason you're not able to be here, you need to let one of those deacons know that you're going to be gone or out of town, because they're going to be taking your attendance, not only during the month that you in that work group, but throughout the whole year. You will be in that group with that same deacons of your group. So you need to remember that. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 tells us, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching." This goes hand in hand with our attendance, elders' visitation plan. And you might laugh as we say it, but we put it as two by two. The elders going in two by two. If you've been missing, or if we realize the problems, we intend on going and visiting with those of our number who has attendance problems and do it in two by twos. Or if there are other problems that a member might have, generally you need to know that we're responsible for your soul as well as you yourself are also responsible for your soul. We the elders take that with great fear. Somehow our attendance at Sunday night is always less than Sunday morning. Our attendance on Wednesday night are always less than Sunday morning. It's never changed from that. But we want to be there as elders to encourage you to be here, not only just for worship service, but for our Bible classes. Whenever the doors are open, we want our members to be here. Along with that, Brother Mark made a statement in behalf of the four of us last Sunday with a great response after the remark to helping Brother Sean out in getting teachers. That is very important that our children be taught and the teachers and to be here. I know as you read that, you think, well, that's odd. But we have a responsibility to those that are non-members that are in need. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 11. "For the poor will never cease for the land. Therefore I command you, saying, open your hand wide to your brother and to your poor and your needy in your land." In Romans 12 and 20, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink." We not only have the responsibility of benevolence for those that are of the household of God, But we also have responsibilities for those that are non-members. From time to time, as long as I have been a member of the church, there have been those that's come by and asked for needs. It generally comes to the elders, or it comes to Brother Curtis, or it comes to one or two of the deacons. And it has been a problem, and we realize some come by saying they're in need, are professionals at that, that will go from church to church to church to see what they can come up with. But there are also those that are truly in need. We have volunteered 3 of our deacons. They are Brother Mike Whitaker, Brother Joey Ams, and Brother Terry Wingdom, to be in charge of those that come by that are of non-members assistance. We already have what we have as a flower fund money, which is not over the oversight of the work of the elders. This is something else that is a need and a responsibility that we have to be sure that those that are in need, that are truly in need, and we're comfortable that these 3 men will check them out thoroughly to see that they are in need, that the money will be there to be able to help a non-member person. If you wish to give, see one of those 3 deacons, and it can be given where it's not just set down where 2 or 3 or so each time it's done, it's laid on them to find out and to get it. So it has been signed to a deacon, and if you wish to give, be sure to see one of them. We realize that the church has a responsibility for benevolence for those that are members of the church, but this is for non-members. And if you have a question about that, you can ask me, and I'll be able to explain it in more detail after the services if you need more detail. Our land plans. We own a lot of land, and we're not in the land business. But when it came time, as most of you already know, to buy land for a location for this building. Very narrow strip of land. It goes way back, 20 plus acres. We had to do also some trading out and everything else to get wide enough for the building. So that's how come we ended up with original 20 some acres of land. Sometime after that, opportunity came for a half an acre that the gentleman beside us, who we bought this original land from, we bought that half an acre in case we can go that way. Not knowingly that immediately after that, the house and 5-plus acres would come available. We are not in the land and the buying business, but we were stuck with 10 or 12 acres in the back. We expand, we need to go from side to side, because as you know, if you park on the back of the parking lot, it's a long walk already. So that opportunity came twofold, where we can go out this way and where we can have right-of-ways to the back property for when the time comes, we can get rid of the land. That is our intentions when the time comes, is to get rid of the excess property that we have. But it comes a blessing for us when the popes came here that we had the house. As everybody knows with the economy, it's gonna take some time for them to be able to move their house that's in Texas. And The land is sitting there with the economy like it is. It's only going to increase in value. So when the time comes that they no longer need the house, whether it be 6 months or whether it's 5 years, we've got the property, and that's good there where they're able to have a place to stay until they sell their house and make other plans. And we're definitely not pushing them to do that. But that's where we're at on the land at this time. And if you need to know more about, if a member, what it consisted of the right of way, I will be glad to meet with you and explain more on that. But that was definitely a necessity. Get into our budget part. We, at this present time, are paying $2,270 payment on our debt for building the building and the land. It was set up on a 5-year contract. There's a lot goes into that. That's the way we had to do it, being as it was a church building. When that 5 years is up, and I'm not sure of that date, we will refinance. I kind of hope it will be real soon what interest rates are down where they at now. Also, since the first of the year to now, we have been in our preaching, both local and away combined, been spending $3,150 a week for the preaching here and at other places in our meetings. Our total expenses have been per week at $6,670. Our average take-in, the giving on Sunday morning, has been around $6,450. Well, you know, we set our budget at $7,000 at the first of the year. We want to leave it at the $7,000. And I leave you with this thought. If you are a member, here, and wish a copy of the budget and expenses, be sure to ask Mike Whitaker for that, and he will be glad to supply that for you. He can't do that for you tonight, but he will get you a copy of the budget and the expenses. Thank you very much.
Let me just say a couple of things before I begin to speak about the things that I'm really supposed to talk about. We talk about equipping the saints, and that's one of our purposes here, according to Scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 12. And so what Brad talked about is designed to strengthen and encourage us as a group of Christians to mature like the Lord wants us to. That's what that plan is all about. And unless we personally invest ourselves in it, it won't work. We can have great classes, but they won't teach you a thing if you're not there. So we encourage everyone to participate in those, because they are ultimately for our good. God knows what we need in order to get us from here to there. He knows what we need. He knows what we need in order to strengthen us to be the kind of people that He wants us to be. Part of that, part of molding and developing us into those people, is to grow and be strengthened and mature as Christians. So that's part of what we have planned. Part of our responsibility is to look after the spiritual and physical needs of those who are struggling. That's what works of service is, that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. When Johnny talks about the non-member volunteer, or the volunteer non-member benevolent fund, the purpose of that is so that anyone as an individual may contribute to that, so it doesn't fall on just a few. It may fall on the shoulders. It may still fall on the shoulders of just a few if no one cares to participate. But it is something that is voluntary, so that when those events arise, the deacons may see after that if they determine that it is a worthy need. And then finally, Ephesians 4:12 says that we're to build up the body of Christ. That word build is an architectural term. And so what it is talking about is adding building blocks to the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul says, "For we are God's fellow workers," speaking of the apostles, "you are God's field," God's building. That's what the church is. And so in Ephesians 4 verse 12, when Paul teaches us that we are to build up the body of Christ, he's talking about adding blocks to this building, growing the church, seeking and saving the lost. That's part of our purpose here at West End. And so that's what I want to talk about, some specific things that we plan to do that we hope will help that to happen. We are designing, in the process right now of designing, with the help of some very capable people here, to develop a visitor packet that we will be able to give to guests. We hope that it is attractively done. That's why the newsletter has been redesigned. We hope that because it's more attractive, people will care to look at it and read it. And that's the same thing with the visitor packet. It will have information about us and about who we are, about what the work that we do here. We intend to put in it a CD that just says who we are. So when someone is a guest, they can take that visitor packet, they take the CD, pop it in the CD player in their car, and they can listen to it as they drive home. It will be information about us. So if they don't read a thing, if they'll just listen for 5 minutes, they'll have an idea who we are. Our purpose is designed to try to educate our guests about who we are and what our mission is. And it's not just the mission of West End. This is the Lord's mission that West End is attempting to help carry out. That is one thing that we hope to improve on. Next, we want to raise the awareness of visitors in our midst. This congregation has been blessed with visitors just over and over and over and over. Some that come are not Christians. If we can help lead others to Christ, that must be part of our mission. It must be part of our mission. And so we have a specific plan, and we will seek out, I don't know if you'll volunteer or we'll volunteer you, but we're going to have people that we will seek out to help us in a specific program designed to help us to develop Bible studies among those that are here. That is a goal, part of our mission, to seek and save the lost. And some of you will be involved in assisting us with that program. Another thing, and I will say these are not all original ideas. We have stolen freely from some of our brethren elsewhere. But one of the things that we have seen, and I don't mind saying, I saw this at Charlestown Road in New Albany, Indiana. They have a CD rack that has CDs of specific lessons that are recorded and available for free for guests. That's what it looks like. They are attractively printed, specific lessons, attractively printed on CDs, and we'll have racks, and they will be available as people leave. Visitors, they can take as many of them as they want. They'll be as free can get. People may listen to something that's packaged like that when they may not read a tract. So, part of what we plan to do is to set up something like this. If you want a CD of a lesson, we can still sign them. They'll be a little bit cheaper if we sign up for them on our notebooks. And the sound room will copy as many copies as you want. But for our guests, we want them to be able to walk up to the CD rack and take what they wish to have. And that will be, we hope, will be a very effective teaching tool that we're just not utilizing right now. We're going to print, a number of you have picked up copies of the little business cards. I don't know what else to call them. They're business size. The size is a business card that just says that we're West End and where we are and when we meet. And if you go to a restaurant, you can leave one on the table. Or you, as you talk to your server, you can give them one. Where do you go to church? You can say, this is where I go. Would you please come with me sometime? Or the person that you see in the grocery line that waits on you, that is familiar to you, and you talk with them about it. I'd like for you to come and worship with us sometime at West End. This is where we worship. Your neighbors, whomever, people you work with. If you want to tell them when and where we meet, you'll be able to do it on this by just handing them this card. Tell them where. Invite, invite, invite. That's part of what our mission is, to share the gospel with others. And that will be the specific purpose while we plan to make more and more of those available. In 2013, the gospel meetings that we have scheduled, we're going to accomplish something specific about them. We're going to have a specific purpose, and we'll have a specific theme for each one of our gospel meetings. That's something that we'll make sure of. And for 2013, we have scheduled two gospel meetings. In the spring, Antoine Holloway will be here. He currently preaches at Wildercroft in Baltimore, or Riverdale, Maryland. It's in the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area. Antoine will be here in the spring. Wayne Galloway will be here in the fall. And so, obviously, as those events get closer, we will inform you more about that. We'll prepare materials for you to invite your friends and neighbors and things of that nature. But once again, there'll be a specific purpose to them that we'll announce to you, and they will be designed that we can share the gospel with others. Also, when the elders met and with Curtis, we talked and talked about advertising and advertising methods. And we considered several different things. What should we do to advertise? Radio, TV, newspaper. And the more we talked, the more we realized, and we have found, we think, what we believe is the cheapest, most effective method of advertising that we can utilize. It's you. It's you. We're not going to do those other things. It's you. It's us. It is our work. You know, the gospel covered the world in the first century. And there wasn't a single microphone or radio or internet or television. It covered the world because Christians were active in the field and they spread the gospel and they shared it with others. And we can do the very same thing. And one of the things that we want to do as elders is to not only make it easier for you to do that, to just simply speak about it to your friends and neighbors, but we want to encourage you to do it. We want to encourage you to do it. And so that is something that we need to do to effectively spread the gospel. And that'll be to tell others, and it's us that has to do it. It's not something we can delegate. The elders talked and planned about our growth here. We looked at our Bible classes. You know, we've talked about the fact that we have, I've lost count, 9 or 10 babies due here in 2012. Brethren, that means that in 2013, we're going to have 9 or 10 more babies in our classrooms, 9 or 10 more children, which of course is wonderful. That is wonderful. But one of the things that the elders thought about is as we grow, what will the needs of our be on our physical plant? Do you want to grow? Do you want to need more space here so we can teach and educate people about how to become Christians and to be the kind of people that God wants us to be? Well, that's what we want. And we believe that when we look at this, you can see where it goes. We talked about the growth of the congregation here. Look at that. It starts at 320. And if we grew 10% in a year, that's 32 people. That means among any 10 of us, we could add one. Can 10 of us together add one? Are we capable of that? Are we content to just simply coast along and just like a ship with no destination, no sail out, doesn't have its, rudder, not headed in any certain direction, just sort of float along? Are we going to be a church that floats along? If you will, it'll be against the will of this eldership, I'll tell you that much. Because that's why we come to you with these plans and we tell you what we want to accomplish. And it will take all of us to lock our arms together to be what the Lord wants us to be as a church. And so, if we do our work, we can grow. And you can see what the results are. And it's not just for numbers' sake. Mark put this slide together, and I told him, you know, some people may look at that and think 10% is not a realistic number. And Mark said, well, I can make it 20. Can't we? It's not about the numbers, but we have to look at what our possibilities are. And we have to understand that we've got the ability, and we've got the talent. We got to have the willingness and the other things that Mark talked about that will cause us to do what we know we can do and to accomplish what we know we can accomplish. Because it's not the numbers, I keep saying that. What is the purpose then? We do it for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. When we do the things, when we execute the plans, it's not going to be just so you can satisfy the elders. It'll be so you can satisfy God. The Christians here don't serve the elders. The Christians here serve God and serve Jesus Christ. And we've got to remember that He is our master. And so the things that we do, the work that we do in the kingdom is for Him. And it glorifies Him. And so our job as elders and as shepherds is to try to get us all to pay attention to who we serve and to serve Him and to work at it with all our might, to remember that we're working for the Lord and to remember that He is the one that we serve. And we hope, that you'll all join with us as we try to do that. Curtis.
Turning your Bibles, please, to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. While you're turning there, I want to tell you a story. A lawyer who was especially involved in conflict management was working with a law firm that was just about to break apart. Everything that they had tried was something that was not successful in being able to keep this group together, and they were basically using this lawyer as one last means of trying to hold them together before they burst apart. What the lawyer did was talk to them about some very important principles, and finally, as they were getting to some valuable points to where they had dealt with some of the issues that were problematic there in the law firm, he finally said, well, I'll tell you what you need to do. If one of you has a problem with another one, what you need to do is go and talk to that one by himself. And if you've talked to that one, perhaps there's a misunderstanding. Perhaps there's a way in which you can solve that issue with yourself. But in that situation, then you'll be able to not take it even further, and it'll be able to be solved with just the two of you. If it's not solved then, what you might be able to do then is take two or three with you and go and talk together with one another in this situation to see if perhaps the two or three might be able to bring pressure to bear on the one person, so they might be able to then do what is necessary to be able to work out what's best for the firm. If that doesn't work, maybe you take it before the firm and see what happens then. And then, if it doesn't work then you may realize and have targeted exactly what the problem is. They thought that sounded wonderful. It just so happens that all of the members of this law firm were Jewish. And as they were talking to this lawyer, they said, "Where did you get this wisdom? Tell us books we could read about this to find out how this would work." The lawyer was a religious man, and he said, "Well, given your religious persuasion, I hate to tell you this, but it's actually the teaching of Jesus in Matthew, the 18th chapter. He's the one that says exactly what I have told you in terms of ways to deal with one another." A female member of the law firm raised her hand and says, "I vote we do things the Jesus way." Now, I don't know that I would describe it exactly that way, but I'll tell you, I know that doing things Jesus' way is the best way for us to do them. When we see Jesus' way described in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we see it describes how that he gave some as apostles and some as prophets. And we are fortunate to have before us in the pages of the New Testament message given to us by apostles and prophets who were inspired by God as a standard for what we need to do in all matters of faith and practice. He also gave some as evangelists and pastors and teachers. Evangelists are those who proclaim the word of God on a regular basis. And I want you to know that I am tickled to death to be able to work with you here in this particular congregation that's as interested in growth and development and teaching the gospel and being a shining light in this community, of being that city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It talks about pastors, which is just another name for shepherds, elders, bishops. And you're so fortunate to be able to have elders here who love you, who love this congregation, who want it to be able to grow and develop to be what it needs to be. They've included me in some of their deliberations so that I could be there as an observer and as a consultant from time to time. And I'll tell you, I've never seen a harder working bunch of elders in my life, because they have spent hours working on the plans that we are talking about, all to be able to make this congregation better, to make us better suited to spend eternity with God in heaven. It also talks about teachers, and that's a part that all of us can play from time to time as we try to teach the gospel to our friends and neighbors and relatives. But you notice the purpose that we've talked about tonight: for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Commentators sometimes disagree on what this part of the passage means. Some have tried to make it to where it fits into the basic work of the church, to where, as it talks about the equipping of the saints, it talks about the idea of them being able to edify one another and build each other up, the work of service applying to the benevolent work of a congregation, and the building up of the body of Christ having to do with evangelism that causes the congregation to grow numerically as well as spiritually. But I don't know that it can be divided exactly that simply and easily. But what I do know is the equipping of the saints means that the Lord has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as gifts so that we can be equipped for the work that we need to do here at this congregation. And we need to be thankful to the Lord for his gift of his word and of people who are interested in being able to help us grow and be what we need to be. But also that's equipping us for the work of service. And if you're not interested in service, then you may not necessarily be with the program here, because what we are interested in is serving the Creator and making sure that in the things that we do in this congregation as individuals and as a congregation, we're able to do things the Jesus way, to make sure that we do things in such a way so that he can be served and that we can serve our fellow man by drawing them and bringing them to Jesus Christ. But you notice the purpose in the final analysis is for the building up of the body of Christ, so that it can be built up here in this location. It can be built up anywhere that we have influence as members and students who are here go off to other places. in other places where the funds that we donate go to be able to help spread the gospel, not only here, but elsewhere, goes to be able to build up the body of Christ. Because let me tell you, brethren, we're in a war, and we need to be on a war footing. And the plans that have been made so that this war against Satan can be fought and it can be won, because we are certain of the outcome. And the outcome is going to be victory for God's people. What we will be judged on is to the extent that we made preparation and we put that preparation into practice in what we were working on. Did we do things Jesus' way, or did we do things in a way that was haphazard and unconcerned about the growth of this congregation and the growth of the cause of Christ anywhere that we had influence? In John the 14th chapter in verse 6, there Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." That's what we need to teach here, and what we do teach, and what we want to continue to teach, that the only way that we can get to heaven, the only way that we can have access to the Father, is through Jesus Christ himself. And we want to make sure that in everything we do things Jesus' way. Whether it be in terms of our work, whether it be in terms of the benevolence that we're involved in, or the building up of the saints, or the evangelism that we're involved in, whether it happens in reference to our worship, whether it has anything to do with the way that we are presented in the community as we are shining lights, hopefully, to a lost and dying world, we want to be people who do things Jesus' way, because his is the only way. And we need to make sure that we understand that and we teach that. But you know, you need to make sure that you believe that. If you're not a child of God tonight, you need to recognize that the only way there is to God is Jesus' way.